Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
And we'll be talking with meteorologist Bill Snyder. You know Bill Snyder, don't you, Schwann?
Of course, yeah.
Tom Skilling's longtime weather
assistant,
producer. Yeah. We like to call him Tom Jr. Because he kind of talks like Tom. He's got the same enthusiasm.
I was going to say, he's got the same enthusiasm and passion for
completely,
the weather. Yeah,
completely. And he's nice enough.
Nice enough to be on with us.
To be on the show when I call at the last minute and say it's snowing outside, which it seems like at least downtown here.
It's lightened up a little bit. But we've seen snow totals of 2 inches or more and nearly 3 inches in Lewiston, Illinois. That's southwest of Peoria. So the predictions of 1 to 3 are correct.
Yeah. And I guess the western areas are getting hit a little harder.
Yeah, west, northwest, out toward Woodstock, that area there.
That's by the scenic lakeshore here.
So
you know what I miss is when we used to be, I mean, we've got a nice view here in this, what floor are we on?
18th
floor.
Do you have to have a guide to take you up? Don't remember where
my personal assistant hits all the buttons in the elevators.
Okay.
My butler does that.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right.
We have a very nice view. But remember at the old place, the old dump on Michigan Avenue, it was nice. When it was snowing, it was nice, wasn't it?
But it's nice here, too.
Yeah, but we're up high, though.
Oh, okay.
I liked it when you could ride on the street and, the shoppers were out and, running around Michigan Avenue.
You could look across the street at the Wrigley Building with decorations and the trees, the lights on the trees.
Right, right. Watching people spit on the sidewalk.
The guy plowing the Pioneer Court over there.
Right. Ah, those were the days over at the old dump.
Wonderful. That was wonderful.
You know how when you're like on vacation or something, which I was not on vacation, but I feel like I've been gone for 2 months or something.
I had the same
everything
feeling.
Everything feels weird. Like, how do I do this again? I was only gone 1 week.
Yeah, we were discussing this earlier. You know, we did tree time. Then we did Andy was gone.
We did tree time?
Andy, it's nice to have you back
today.
Hey,
thanks.
It's
great to be here.
Okay. yes.
This is the first time in like a month that we've all been here.
I think so, all together. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everybody have a nice Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Very nice.
Good.
Definitely.
And you?
Yeah, it's good enough.
Good enough. That's all you get from him. It's good enough.
Gets the job done.
It was fine. Family.
Oh, what holiday spirit.
Nobody was killed.
We've got a month to go yet. All right.
Did you do any Black Friday shopping?
No, I did not either.
You'd think by watching the news that that's all people have been doing for the last 2 days. Just doing nothing but trying to get 70-inch TVs for $100. I didn't either.
You didn't? Okay.
I avoided the stores. I don't know. Do you want to be around crowds?
Well,
no.
No, yeah, to answer your question, no. The short answer is no.
Wants to be around crowds.
But I was out and around yesterday for a little while at the
Christmas caroling?
Kindle Market. Almost. At the Chris Kindle Market in Wrigleyville.
Oh,
went up and interviewed
the Gallagher Way.
The good people there for a feature story on Gallagher Way.
Oh, nice.
And it was very nice. The weather was nice. Everybody was in a good mood.
Right.
There's a Ferris wheel there, and the kids love
it.
There's a Ferris wheel.
Where?
Right next to the Christmas tree.
Hmm.
And the Gallagher Way one.
In the plaza there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yep. They moved it in for the event, and the kids loved it. And everybody was in a good mood.
Did you get on?
No, they wouldn't let me on.
Hey, kid, get out of there.
No, they wouldn't let me on. They said I would break it.
Instead of a mini one?
It's a little smaller than, well, certainly smaller than the one at Navy Pier.
Yeah.
But,
so it's kind of like a mini Ferris.
Yeah, mini Ferris wheel that you'd see at, at a county fair or something
that,
local event. So, but it's there and very popular.
They have a petting zoo?
No.
I love a petting zoo.
You know what I didn't do, though, what would be really neat is you can go into Winterland in Wrigley Field.
And walk ice skate in there.
They have that up and running now?
Yes. Yeah. Well, where have you been?
I don't know.
You don't know.
I feel like I've been gone for, like, you know, like somebody dropped me into Chicago.
What is your name?
I would have to check my wallet for that.
You probably have someone else's wallet.
Meteorologist Bill Snyder from WGN TV will be joining us in a couple of minutes just to give us, you know, all the details. Not that Schwani's forecast isn't completely accurate. But, you know, he'll go into all the details.
Oh, absolutely.
On all of that.
And, you know, we're not the only ones affected by this. There are 11 states that are dealing with this storm, and some of it, people are much less fortunate than we are, getting 1 to 3 other areas there. And I'm sure Bill will talk about that.
Yeah, we don't care about them. What?
What a holiday spirit here.
Well... Of course we care about that. Of course I'm full of eggnog. What do I know?
Oh, really? Just that?
I wish I had some eggnog right now. I have been craving eggnog.
What?
Cleared my throat.
I was going to say, what happened?
I didn't think anyone wanted to hear that. I have been craving eggnog for like the last week or so.
Hmm.
When we get into the holidays... Don't you go into, like, holiday foods?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Beverages, pastries, goodies.
Yep.
I've been craving some really good eggnog.
Eggnog, some sort of, like, bread, you know, the fancy breads and rolls they serve this time of year.
Oh, yeah. Well, those are good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's all good.
Yep.
So, anyway, we'll get Bill Snyder to talk about the weather. And, you know, give us the, because I guess it's going to get cold again, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. After this, this is the typical pattern. We have a storm, large or small, that moves in. It brings in that cold air. And tomorrow we're looking at a high around 30, but some strong winds and the wind chills could be in the teens tomorrow. Yeah. Wind chill indices. Yeah. Lows in the lower 20s overnight tonight.
Yeah, I'm telling you, my bald head can't take this.
Well, wear a hat, will you?
Well, I wear it. I do, but doesn't it seem like as you get a little older, you have...
less and less tolerance.
Less tolerance for it.
Well, you do. Yeah, I've noticed that myself.
And
yeah.
That's why Florida and Arizona are still states.
I forgot to put my snow brush in the car today.
I have one. I've got one I can loan you.
Yeah, I've got one.
I said I've got one I can loan you. I'm trying to be nice.
Wow. Well, you have one then if you loan me one?
Mm-hmm.
So you have two?
Mm-hmm. I've got three.
In the car?
Yep. And a scraper.
Oh, God.
I have a vacuum cleaner.
Great. You have all that stuff in your car right now?
Yes. A light.
Don't ask him for a ride. He can't fit you.
He's got a pneumatic jack. You can balance your tires. You need an oil change?
The oil.
He's got those ramps. You drive up, you can change the oil. One of those boards with the rollers on
it. I got all of this at Wally's service station.
No room for groceries.
Really? You have all that stuff in your car?
I don't have all of that, but I do have several snow scrapers and a vacuum cleaner and a light. Yeah, I have all that.
Wow.
An extra a container for gas, a gallon of gas.
Do you have water?
No, I don't have any water.
Stranded?
Windshield
blanket?
Wiper fluid.
Can't drink that.
Clark bars?
Marathon bars.
I don't know why I would want Clark bars. In my survival kit, for some reason, I would put Clark bars. And I don't even like Clark bars.
Well, then why would you put them
in? I don't know why I thought of
that. Because they have a good shelf life, right?
Well, they do last hundreds of years, like a Hostess Twinkie.
I have one from 1967.
Would not surprise me. That's, of everything you just said, that's the one thing I believe.
He has the $5,500 bar.
Right. Not the $100,000,
no, with inflation, yeah. Just when I got it when it first came out. so I guess, you know, I meant to put it in the car. I take it out of the car because I don't want to be tripping all over it. Not that I'm in the back seat that often, but... Right.
Oh, you mean the scraper, not the Clark bars.
The brush and the... no, because I thought I might need a brush today. I might need my snow brush today. Mm-hmm.
I needed mine today.
And then I left and I forgot. So it's in my garage.
Mine never leaves the car. It is there at all times.
I can't have a snow brush in the car in July.
I do.
Yeah, I couldn't have.
You never know.
What do you think's going to happen?
You never know.
A sandstorm?
What
are you...
Well, no, what would I leave it in just so it's there, so yeah. I wouldn't forget it right. By this time of year rolls around.
Yep.
So,
well,
I have an extra one if you need it.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm parked in the building.
Oh, all right.
I'm parked inside. Because the snow is going to taper off as the morning goes on. Mm-hmm. Right by the time, we have a super long show today. We're on until 12:30.
But right when you leave, that's when we're going to get a blizzard.
No, it's going to stop. It's stopping, right? Yeah. As the afternoon goes on?
No, but when you leave, that's when it's going to.
Just going to follow me?
Follow
personally.
You, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You and your Clark bars. What kind of food? Have you ever had like a survival kit kind of stuff? In your car, you know how they say you should have something in case you get stuck somewhere?
Flares and all of that. Yeah. Not anything that elaborate, no.
I guess I used to. But when I was a kid, I used to have flares for some reason.
Did you? Well, that was your Boy Scout training.
Right.
Be prepared.
Be prepared.
Yeah.
Be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
I never had, they say you should have a container of water. I've never
yep.
had that.
Yep. Water.
Blanket. I've never had that.
A blanket, yes.
Flashlight.
Yep. I think I do have a mm-hmm. flashlight. But otherwise, I'm pretty much dead if something happens.
Just call Schwani. He'll
come find my frozen corpse out on...
I'll drive by and laugh.
Right. Told you.
He'll brush the snow off you with one of his many snow brushes.
Right. You can do it too.
And I'll use the scraper on your glasses.
Wow. You've given this some thought.
So,
okay.
No, I'm ready to go for the winter.
Yeah. You know, apparently, on July 4th, you're ready to go for the winter.
Yes, that is true.
Schwani shows up at the fireworks displays with his snow brush and
I tried to hand them out. Nobody wanted them.
There's that guy with the snow brushes again, is what they say. A text has rolled in for Andy.
Mm.
Andy, at this point, who is your NFL Final Four?
Boy.
Oh, wow.
That's kind of an early thought here. But
somebody also texting Schwani. Thank you for the temperature you just gave from Dixon, Illinois.
That's right. Yeah.
Jim from Dixon says
30 degrees in
woo-hoo,
Dixon.
Woohoo. Schwani gets in the Dixon temperature.
Yep. 30 in Freeport. It's 29 in Rockford.
All right.
No, 28 in DeKalb.
Yeah.
So you're NFL Final
30
four.
In Aurora.
Please.
Eagles, 49ers. I'm going chalk here. Chiefs and Ravens.
Okay. Schwani?
Take it to the bank and withdraw a lot of money.
Yeah. I think I echo Schwani's reaction to that when I go,
I think it's fine.
I think that's fine.
I think it's fine.
I think that's good.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I was pretty much checked out of everything football pretty early in the season.
Well, yeah, it does. You know, when you live here in town and your team is just god awful, I mean, that happens.
What happened to Justin Fields exactly?
Well, he got hurt, so that's
no. But I mean, even before he got hurt, right?
They don't have the right coaching staff to coach him. I mean, they're trying to fit the proverbial round peg into the square hole because they figured that their square hole is the end-all be-all, and it's not the case. You got a lot of coordinators that are auditioning to be head coaches just to show everybody how smart they are. Well, how about being smart and adapting, making an adjustment every once in a while?
That's kind of amazing to me that, I mean, that just makes perfect sense.
What
you just said.
Yeah, it's too much sense.
How does everybody except the coaching staff, the management, How do they not realize that?
Perhaps they're not being able to see the forest through the trees because they're right there. But at the same time, you're not getting results anywhere near what you can probably get from the guy.
Yep.
And, okay, yeah, some of it's his fault. because you know, Justin has had the reputation of not being really able to read defenses when he needs to be able to. Tyson Bagent was able to do that, but Justin Field has so much raw talent that you got to be able to you have to make him better. You have to make him better. That's your job.
Yeah, and every week, I mean, aside from when he was out with the injuries, we thought, you know, well, he'll hit his stride this week.
Yeah.
He'll get it this week. He'll get it together this week, and it just has never happened.
Yeah, he's one of those guys you don't want to give up on because you know that there's a possibility if you go somewhere where there's a decent offensive head coach or a decent offensive coordinator, he'll flourish. And they'll be the ones looking at him going, oh, yeah, I remember we had that guy.
Let's hope for some flourishing tomorrow.
Yeah, let's hope.
Let's hope. Coming up on the program later on today, you know Rob Reiner, don't you, Shawnee?
Of course. Do I know? I don't know him, but
Meathead.
I followed
Meathead.
Him
better
for
known as Meathead.
50 years, yeah. Yeah.
He's got a...
Son of Carl.
Son of Carl Reiner. That's exactly right. He's a prolific director, film director, television and movie actor. And he's got a very interesting new podcast about the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. We're going to talk with him later on in the show today. And also Hannah Waddingham, one of the stars of Ted Lasso. She's got a brand new Christmas special that's streaming right now on Apple TV Plus. We'll chat with her. Last week when I was not here, I was out in Los Angeles talking with Bradley Cooper and Carey Mulligan, the stars of the upcoming movie Maestro. We're going to play that interview for you next week, but we've got lots of good A-listers. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for America's favorite, the Far-Flung Forecast, your weekly compendium of fascinating facts and figures. Here once again to present it all to you is the head Oompa Loompa himself. Dave Schwann.
Thank you very much, Uncle Dean. Good morning, everyone. And we hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Get out your compasses and protractors and newfangled devices because, actually, our far-flung forecast does have something to do with Thanksgiving. We go to Provincetown, Massachusetts today.
Hmm.
Provincetown goes back over 400 years. It has a population today of a little over 3,500. But it was at Provincetown and Provincetown Harbor on the 9th of November, 1620, that a group known as the Pilgrims aboard a boat called the Mayflower first made landing here in what became the United States.
It was the 9th of November, a day I'll always remember. Yes, I will.
Because that was the day that the pilgrims landed.
Died.
No, they did not. But they landed there before finally settling in Plymouth. And on the 9th of November of 1620, and of course, the rest is history and what has now become our Thanksgiving holiday. Every fourth Thursday of November, Provincetown, Massachusetts has sunny skies today. No snow there. It's 45 degrees.
And that ain't right. We've got a snowy Sunday morning, and thank goodness our pal Bill Snyder from WGN-TV, the Emmy Award-winning weather producer for Tom Skilling, the great Bill Snyder, nice enough to join us this morning. Hello there, my friend. I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving.
I did, my friend. It's good to talk to you. How about you? I hope you had a good one as well.
I did. Very, very nice. And I guess the first kind of measurable snow like this, I don't know if it's officially the first snow, but the first.
You know what, Dean? Actually, it's the second. We had, if you recall, it wasn't a big snow, but we had some snow here on Halloween, I believe.
Oh, that's
total,
right.
At O'Hare was about 0.9 of an inch. So it seems like we're timing our snowfall here around holidays, right?
We had
snow on Halloween, and you know now we're a couple of days past Thanksgiving, and we've got some snow on the ground.
Yeah. What are we looking at now for the remainder of the day, which
in addition
to it being the end of Thanksgiving, but it's one of the busiest travel days of the year.
Right. Well, the good news, Dean, is this is not a huge storm. It's certainly we've seen much worse by Chicago standards, and you know, honestly, snow is not that uncommon in November. It's, you know, if you look at it as a whole, it's our fifth snowiest month on average when you compare it to the other months. It's behind, only behind March, December, February, and January. And we average typically about 1.8 inches of snow for the month of November. So looking back through the records, nearly half of those Novembers, about 49%, have produced at least 1 inch of snow. And it looks like this is going to be one of them. You might recall, we go back to 2018, just 5 years ago, we had 12.7 inches of snow for the month. So it can snow. It's not all that uncommon. And we've had up to 2 inches in Sominok out in DeKalb County, Peru and LaSalle County up to 2 inches, Ottawa 2 inches, Batavia 1.5, Winfield and DuPage County 1.5, Naperville 1.3, Schaumburg 1.1. So, you know, I think most of us, when the snow winds down here early this afternoon, we do have a winter weather advisory in effect for much of the area until 2 p.m. And I think that the caution there is your secondary roads, your overpasses, your off-ramps, you know, typically areas that are normally colder than your main thoroughfares are where you're going to want to be careful a little bit you know, give yourself some extra space between the car in front of you, because those are the areas that can get, you know, can get slick, versus your main drags where the, you know, where the traffic and salt works well. That's the one good positive here is that, you know, with temperatures hovering right around freezing or even a tad above that, the road chemicals work well. So, I think you're going to find that most of the main, the main roads are going to be in pretty good shape. And, but that being said, later this evening, you know, once the, you know, when the sun sets, or, well, there won't be sun, but when it gets dark, that's when you got to watch some of these areas that could get a little slick, because the temperatures will at that point drop below freezing and you could get some slick spots, you know, on untreated areas. So,
yeah, and the road, as you say, the ramps and overpasses and things, those are always the first ones to go. And it being one of our first, significant snow. You know, we kind of forget, right? Everyone forgets how to drive in this weather.
It never fails. It seems like that happens every year. That, you know, all of a sudden, you know, like you said, when you get that first snow, people kind of forgot how how to respond or drive in it, and you wind up hearing about numerous traffic wrecks on area roads. So hopefully, you know, we can minimize that. And from what I've heard so far, at least at the airports, that there's no significant delays at either O'Hare or Midway. So I know, like you said, it's a busy day for people traveling both on the roads and through the air. And I think that for the most part so far hasn't been too bad. You know, again, this isn't a superstorm, but you know, the first real snow of the season, it's always an eye catcher.
It's a good reminder for us to how we're supposed to act in this kind of weather. So when you say that it's going to be tapering off now this afternoon, what's your best guess about what time things should become a little bit clear, at least snow-wise anyway?
I think the heaviest, you know, and again, Dean, we're getting like little patches where you get, you know, some fluctuations in the snowfall's intensity this morning. There are some embedded bursts of snow that are a little bit heavier than in some areas than others. So, you know, that's where you get, where you want to exercise some caution this morning, because you can get, when that happens, you get some reduced visibilities, and that's, you know, you want to certainly plan accordingly for that. But as far as for most of us, I think that once we get past the early hours of the afternoon, you know, outside of 1-2 o'clock, it may not totally be over with, but the snow will just be kind of flurry. It'll diminish to flurries and become more occasional versus these, you know, heavier bursts that are going to be with us here at times through the morning hours.
I'm seeing, you know, nothing out of our windows here in downtown Chicago right now. Are there some areas that are more greatly affected today than others?
Yes. You know what? It looks like the areas that are far west, the southwest suburbs, far southwest, like I said, they've gotten up to 2 inches already out in, you know, LaSalle County. That's southwest of us, out in DeKalb County, due west. So those areas have had 2 inches, and I've even seen some pictures on social media from someone out there that way, showing one of those secondary roads that showed that it's covered. The snow has covered the ground there and the roads, but I think here, close in proximity to the city, we're seeing the fact that there's still some residual warmth. You know, we've had a fairly warm November up until recently. And so you're getting the residual warmth of the ground there. And then also, you know, downtown, you're getting still some residual warmth of the lakefront and just from the concrete of all the buildings and so forth. So, your pavement temperatures are still, well above freezing. So with that being said, I don't think you're going to see too much in the way of any issues, you know, downtown or especially on the main roads.
Okay. I want to, talk about what we can look forward to, best you can. I know that things change hourly, but what we can look forward to between now and Christmas.
When we
come back from the break, I want to just talk about regionally, because a lot of people, as you said, are traveling on the roads this weekend. And while they may not be in the Chicago area, if there are areas around us where motorists may encounter some problems, wanted to talk about those. But let me take a break real quick here. The Emmy Award winning. Do you carry your new Emmy Award with you everywhere you go now, Bill?
You know what? Actually, Dean, I don't even have the award as of yet.
The statue?
They have to engrave it, right. So I will wait and enjoy that when the time comes. So, for now, there's no Emmy Award with me at the moment.
Yeah, well, he's got one. Long overdue, WGN-TV weather producer Bill Snyder talking to us about our snow that we've got out here this morning. It's 9:45. Tom Skilling's right-hand man keeps things going in the old WGN-TV weather office all the time. Bill Snyder, for how many years now have you been working with Tom?
Well, Dean, it will be, at the end of January, it'll be 27 years.
How about
that? More than a quarter century. Isn't that something?
That is absolutely amazing. And,
it really is.
Tom made the announcement recently that he is going to be retiring in February, which still seems hard to believe. A world without Tom Skilling,
on our
televisions
really
every day. It's going to be, super crazy, but... We've got such a strong weather team over at WGN that I know things are going to go, continue the way Tom would have wanted it all this
time. I will
time.
Certainly do my part, Dean. You know, I'll do my best to keep things running there for sure. But, that's going to be a tough, certainly tough shoes to fill. No question about it. Tom is well respected as the GOAT in the so-called in the meteorological profession. And, it's been a part of many people's lives for nearly a half a century on the old number 9. So it's certainly going to be different.
Well, I got to say, there is nobody like Tom Skilling, that's for sure. But if you weren't working beside him, I mean, I've seen this up close and personal when there are weather emergencies going on and everybody on the whole weather center is going crazy. Bill Snyder is there and, pumping information to Tom and getting him stats and, all kinds of information. He understands the weather as well as anybody does. And that's why I'm glad that you are here with us today. I'm going to start a campaign for you to replace Tom, by the way. I'm going to start like a little third party candidacy sort of kind of deal.
All right.
See how that works out.
We'll see how far that one goes with the bosses, right?
Most third party candidacies usually work out really well.
All
right. So people traveling for this holiday weekend, coming home from their Thanksgiving weekends, are there areas regionally, are there any areas of concern that people should be aware of?
You know, the good news, Dean, is that this is a very tight little compact system that's moving through here. And the bulk of the snow that's accumulating is kind of centered on our area. So as you go farther south, it's not going to be any, major issues if you're traveling, downstate Illinois or driving to, Indianapolis and so forth. It's actually going to be pretty, you're not going to have too many problems there. The one area that, that may have some issues is, out on the other side of the lake, because as the system, pulls out, you're going to see, some pretty chunk of pretty cold air coming in behind it. And that's going to, kick up the lake effect snow machine. So if you're heading up towards southwest lower Michigan and the Grand Rapids area and, you know, areas such as that heading north, those areas are under a winter weather advisory that continues into tomorrow morning. So you're driving from that side of the lake back to Chicago, you're going to run into some problems. And those areas could see upwards of 5 inches, maybe even 6 inches of snow of the lake effect variety in parts of Michigan. So that's certainly one area that may have some issues. But as far as our, you know, where we're concerned, you know, things will definitely improve here as we move through the afternoon. We still may have some snow flurries flying around, but I think that the bulk of the accumulating snow will be over at that point. And then what we have to look forward to, or I should say not look forward to, is some colder temperatures. Yeah. Because, you know, Dean, it's well known that, you know, snow cover, there's no greater, you know, thing on earth that has a high albedo effect. So a fresh snowpack on the ground, even if it's, you know, not a significant amount, that as much as 90% of your incoming solar radiation is reflected back into space, which therefore that keeps the surface temperatures much colder than it would otherwise if you had bare ground. So we could see temperatures tonight drop down inland in the low 20s as the clouds break, and certainly tomorrow night when the sky is clear, we'll see temperatures inland dip down into the teens, low to mid teens, and you know, we'll see wind chills even drop a little bit below that, despite the fact that we're going to have a fair amount of sunshine the next couple of days. So that's kind of the other side of the story here, besides the fact that we're getting some snow, is typically, you know, it they kind of go hand in hand with one another.
Right.
You know, the snow, and then you get some cold temperatures that follow. So we're going to be looking the next couple of days where high temperatures may not even hit 30 degrees tomorrow and Tuesday. And that hasn't happened here in more than 8 months. So it's the coldest air, you know, besides the snow, the coldest air here in over 8 months since back in early March.
Yeah, I've definitely noticed it. You know, I know that you have all your fancy weather equipment and, you know, radar and all that. I have the Dean Richards baldometer that I use to measure the cold weather.
Sure.
So I just, you know, I take my hat off for a couple of minutes, and if I'm not, you know, using language that I shouldn't, then I know it's not that cold. But if I am, then I know that it's pretty cold outside. It's a pretty scientific method that I use.
Hey, that sounds fair enough to me, I think.
Yeah. Hey, is there anywhere in the area right now that just has a ton of snow? I have a friend that lives in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and he calls me all the time to tell me how much crazy snow they have there. I haven't talked to him in a while, but have they gotten crazy snow, or is any area around us?
You know, Dean, I haven't looked closely at their amounts, but I think that so far for the season that my recollection here is that perception so far is that it's been kind of light up there, because they haven't we haven't had the, you know, a lot of their snow comes from lake effect. You know, that's just how things work up there. And I don't think there's been a huge setup. I'm just trying to check here for right now, for example. So, yeah, as a matter of fact, Dean, Marquette, which is, you know, certainly known as a big snow area, they've only had 4.7 inches so far for the season. And typically by now they would have received over 2 feet.
Yes,
so that's
right.
Significantly lower than what's typical. And here's another stat, Dean. You know, by this time last year, Marquette had already had 40.7 inches.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That is absolutely
insane. And again, this kind of goes, you know, hand in hand with our forecast moving forward as we head into the winter. And, you know, we've got an El Nino developing, which is, you know, the warming of the equatorial Pacific waters off the Pacific Ocean. And that has a huge altering effect on weather patterns across the country. And so right now it's looking like not just an El Nino, but we're headed towards a strong El Nino. And there are strong El Ninos. There's a strong correlation locally here in Chicago and across the upper Midwest for a milder than normal temperature regime overall for the winter and a less snowy.
Good.
So that's, you know, and again, that doesn't mean you can't get snow, and it doesn't mean that it won't get cold. But when you look at the bigger picture overall, and, you know, all the numbers are calculated and tabulated here at the end of the winter season, I think we're going to find that we'll wind up averaging warmer than normal, and we'll wind up seeing less snow than what's typical. And a normal winter in Chicago sees about 38.7 inches.
No argument for me on that. I've had quite a few people on our text line, Bill, asking, does it look like we're going to have a white Christmas? I know it's so early to predict that right at the moment, but what's your
You know what, Dean? If you put me on the spot and asked me for that prediction right now at this point, I would say that, and here's another interesting stat, only about 40% of Christmases in Chicago are typically white. So that means, that's less than half. And based on what I'm seeing for the month of December, it looks like we're going to be heading back towards with precise accuracy a month out, it's hard to predict. But at least the way things look right now, we're heading back into a milder temperature regime. So even though, I mentioned it's going to be cold the next couple of days, we're going to see high temperatures struggle to reach 30, and we'll see some, teens at night in the outlying areas. But we bounce back rather nicely here later this week. So I think by the time we get towards Thursday and Friday, we'll see temperatures bounce back into the 40s, which, nice. At that point is above normal. And as we move into the opening days of December, you figure the normal high in December starts at around 40 or 41, and by the end of the month, it drops down into the low 30s. So any day in December that reaches the 40s is considered a mild day versus, what's typical. So I would say if you asked me to make a prediction at this point, I would say the odds favor a not seeing a white Christmas.
Yeah,
that's just my gut instinct right now.
And again,
that can change.
Yeah, I know a lot of people love it, but you don't have to shovel a non-white Christmas. So
that's okay. And it's certainly a lot easier to get to grandma and grandpa's house
to
or wherever else
exactly
you're traveling. Right.
Exactly right.
It makes things much smoother for sure.
Bill, I cannot thank you enough for joining us today to just give us some details on what we're going through this morning.
Sure.
Always a pleasure. I don't see you enough.
Likewise, my friend.
You're on the evening. I'm on in the morning on WGN TV, but it's comforting to know that you're there working alongside the great Tom Skilling. I hope you have a great Sunday today. Bill Snyder, WGN TV.
You too, my friend.
Weather producer. Thanks, pal. Coming up later in the program, director Rob Reiner. Hey, Meathead. I still watch those All in the Family reruns whenever I can. That's such a great show.
He actually was the first person to appear on camera in the very first episode.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
And in what context?
He was walking in the door of the Bunker residence and said something to Gloria.
Huh.
Yeah.
Was he living there then? Or?
Yes. They were together at that time. And then, of course, the arguments ensued.
And Archie says, hey, you.
Archie.
Hey, you dumbbell. That's such a good show.
Do you remember those first few episodes, though? They actually ran a disclaimer before the show started.
Yeah, well,
saying, there are some material here that some people may find offensive here, but there was a gentle warning the first few episodes.
If you watch those reruns, there are things that they say and do on that show they would never be able to
do
sir. Now.
No, sir. No.
I was watching an episode. I think it was All in the Family. Maybe it was. No, it was All in the Family. I thought it might have been Jefferson's, but it was an episode in which Archie says something offensive to George Jefferson's mother, and she gets mad, and the N-word is actually used in the episode.
Is it really?
I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
I couldn't believe that it wasn't edited out.
Edited out, especially these days,
especially, right.
Yeah.
But
or bleeped out or something.
They held nothing back then. I mean, every ethnic group, every group, everything was approached and attacked.
Yeah.
Back then, my conversation with Rob Reiner is about his new podcast about the assassination of JFK. But I did briefly mention All in the Family, and he said it's so funny to him how everything they did 50 years ago is still so relevant today. It still makes perfect sense.
Talking about
today.
Current events and that sort of thing.
Yeah,
sure.
Absolutely.
Vietnam was still very much going on when it first came out.
Well, so. Then they were talking about Vietnam and the war and Nixon and
yeah.
But you could translate an awful lot of that to things that are going on now.
Sure, you can. Yeah,
and people who are in power now. So that will be coming up a little bit later on. Speaking of, I reflected greatly on the JFK assassination, which was the other day. Can you believe 60 years ago?
No, I'm still, kind of amazed by that, yes.
Andy, you have no memory of that whatsoever.
Zero. I was not around.
And I'm going to venture a guess and say that there are more people alive now that were not, cannot
who
remember.
Don't remember than, what happened that day.
Than there are that are alive. Yeah. It's 60 years.
Might be.
Yeah, I was born about 3.5 years later.
So what does that mean to you, the JFK assassination? It was like Pearl Harbor, World War II, another event in history? Is that how, that's your frame of reference for it?
Well, yeah, I mean, because we were taught about it, obviously, in school. We learned about it. And I had some kind of, I don't know what it was, because I think John F. Kennedy was born in May, and I was born in May, that I had some kind of I did a lot of research on him.
Sort of a connection.
Yeah. And it was interesting to hear my parents talk about him. And, they were just getting out of college, I believe, at that point, too. So they were on college campuses when this went on. So it was it was something, surely, that everybody talked about. And the only thing that I can kind of even reference this whole thing is, I remember being in college myself when the Challenger exploded.
Right.
And that's kind of where I was, and walking around and just kind of going, what the heck is going on? And I can only imagine what it was like back then.
It's like the Challenger. It's like 9/11.
Yeah.
Where you remember exactly where you were and what you were doing. I mean, old people like Schwani, for example, they know exactly.
Don't forget to include yourself in that, too.
Yeah, where I remember where I was when I heard the news. I was on the playground.
So was I.
Yeah, because it happened right around the noon hour.
It was afternoon recess, yes.
Yeah. I interviewed a woman this past week who, because it happened in the noon hour, and the Bozo Show was on.
Oh, I saw that. That was amazing.
It was on live. The Bozo Show was on live. When the bulletin came over that President Kennedy had been shot, they were in the middle of playing the bucket game, the grand prize game. And this then 8-year-old little girl, she got up to bucket number 4. The bulletin came over. Obviously the show stopped. And they went to coverage of this tragedy that had just taken place. But we tracked down, we found the woman who was that 8-year-old little girl. And she described what happened. We took her into the actual studio where the Bozo used to, take place. And it was pretty interesting.
I saw your piece on that. Yeah. Amazing.
The whole story. It's on the WGNTV.com. Or on YouTube, if you want to see the story, it's a pretty interesting story. But I reflected several times, every time I heard that it was the 60th anniversary. First of all, I reacted, how could it possibly be 60 years? That seems insane.
Well, 10 years ago, 10 years ago, when we were talking about it on the show, we were saying, man, it's hard to believe it was 50 years. Now 60. Nope. Yeah.
Boy, you're old.
I'm going to remind you again, you are older. Just reminding you, just saying.
I don't have Clark bars in my car like you. I don't have VHS tapes of
the ones Father from 1967.
That's right.
Oh, I have the Father Knows Best videos in case I'm stranded and I need to watch something.
You need to plug in an old VHS machine.
Hoping the battery holds up.
I had that conversation with somebody the other day. It's like, hey, do you know where I can get my VHS player fixed? It's like, I do not.
A place that can do those things.
Do you really?
Yes, I do.
Of course you do.
I do.
Of course you do. Schwani's House of Obsolescence.
There's a lot of things in it.
Yes, indeed. A lot of scary
things. Thanks a lot.
Reel-to-reel tape.
Thanks a lot.
A lot of scary things in there.
No, I have to take my Sony reel-to-reel in for a minute.
It's a kinescope,
No, you do. Is that the X142?
No, it's B3? It's the TC353. That's the model number.
People think we're joking when we talk about this.
Quarter track stereo.
These really are the model numbers.
Yes.
He really does know the model numbers.
It is the TC353.
Of course it is.
Quarter track stereo, mic line mixing. Yeah. That's a big feature.
What are you telling me? You lost me at TCB.
What are you reading the eye chart now?
All I heard was like Charlie Brown's teacher at that point. That's all I heard. So I guess a lot of people are going to go get their Christmas trees this weekend, or they have already. It's a pretty big deal. Back in the day, I used to go to Paw Paw, Michigan.
Oh, know it well.
Yeah, and I would go and cut down my own Christmas tree.
There's a farm out there.
It was so fun. My little nieces and nephews, you know, were tiny little people back then. And I'd load them up in the car with their Uncle Dean, the real Uncle Dean. that's where the phrase got started with those kids who were all grown up now. But I used to take them to, you know, we go to Michigan and we make a day of it and we cut a tree down. And it was so fun. Are there still places? Of course there are still places.
Oh, there are, sure.
Where you can go and cut your own trees down.
Yeah.
I want to talk about that. I want to find out, isn't there a place in Lyle? Isn't there a tree farm, a Christmas tree farm in Lyle?
Western suburbs, maybe. I'm not sure.
I think
there are places right on the Michigan-Indiana line around New Buffalo there.
All right. How about getting on our phone lines here and telling us where you go? Where's a good place to go to cut down a tree? 312-981-7200 is our telephone number. And we have a couple of people on our text line saying, let me see here, the Abbey Farms. Abbey Farms in Aurora has been in business for decades. I do remember that. Part of the Marmion School. I do remember that. Yeah, okay, good. Well, I'm glad to hear they're still up and running. The 815 area code says you can cut your own tree down at Cupola Tree Farms in Bourbonnais. C-U-P-O-L-A, Cupola Tree Farms. There are a few, let's see, another 815, a few cut-your-own Christmas tree farms in Woodstock and McHenry. We go there every year. In the past, let me see here, we go there every year. In the past with our children, now with our grandchildren, usually the day after Thanksgiving, but this year's early Thanksgiving, we decided to wait until next weekend. Yeah, so there are, you know, apparently a lot of good places still to go. Bridget, you know of a place to go to cut down your own tree? Hi, Bridget.
Hi,
are you there?
Dean.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. We went on Friday to Richardson's Tree Farm in Spring Grove, and we had a fabulous experience. It was very crowded, but it was well organized and very fun. We had our whole family, our children and two grandchildren, and even though it was very cold, we all had a great experience. I would highly recommend it.
You probably had a little hot cocoa as part of the experience, right?
Yes, they offer free hot cocoa. They're only doing cut your own trees through next Sunday.
Oh.
But they also have a barn that has pre-cut trees.
That they have cut down themselves recently. That's why I started going to cut my own tree down, because, you know, who hasn't gone to a, you know, parking lot someplace and pick up a tree, and then the next day all the needles fall off because they were cut down last October. I wanted a fresh cut tree.
So fresh.
Yeah.
Yes, very fresh. And we were able to walk to the lot, and they provide the saws, and it was a lot of fun. It was a beautiful sunny day, even though it was very cold on Friday, and it was a great experience. I highly recommend it.
Yeah. I'm glad to hear that that's still, you know, up and running and still fun, because this was when my nieces and nephews were little. Gosh, that's got to be 30 years ago. They're pretty old now. But we used to just have a blast, you know, going up there in the car, singing Christmas carols, and it was a lot of fun back then. So tell me the name of the place. It's Richardson, you said, in Spring Grove?
Richardson Farm, yes.
Okay.
And I think they are also famous for their corn maize in the fall.
Oh, okay.
Well, so it has many opportunities for family activities.
Yeah, great, great. I'm glad to hear that, and I'm glad you called in. I hope you have a wonderful holiday season, Bridget. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm actually on my way to our warehouse in Lake Barrington, which is right by Tree Time that you mentioned earlier.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. How's the snow situation up there?
It's okay. The roads are clear. It's very pretty. The snow is stopping, and driving is just fine. The plows are out.
Good deal.
But I think we probably got about 2 inches at our house.
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. Just to remind us of what may be coming this season, right?
Right. Thank you so much for taking my call, Dean. Love your show.
I appreciate you listening. Thank you so much. This is Sean. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Gene. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
So my family has got a tradition of cutting down Christmas trees ourselves. My parents started before I was born, and they were cutting down Christmas trees in Downers Grove. I don't remember the actual name of the farm.
Downers Grove, wow.
They actually did it for 45 years before they stopped.
In Downers Grove, they did it for 45 years?
Yes.
Wow.
And I'm sorry, I do not remember the name of the farm, but my wife Leslie and I got married, and we continued the tradition, I should say.
Oh, that's great.
We live in Huntley, Illinois, and we have been cutting down a tree for 25 years in Harvard, Illinois, at Oney's Tree Farm.
Oh, yeah. I remember Oney's. We used to have Oney's on the show to talk about how to pick the best tree and, you know, what lasts longest, how to take care of it, all that. Yeah, Oney's, right.
So I'm 51 years old. I've never had a tree that's not been cut down by myself or my father.
Nothing like a fresh-cut tree, I'll tell you. It lasts.
The smell in the house,
yep.
When the tree comes in the house, and it's always the day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
The tree coming in the house, you can smell it. And you smell it throughout the year. Make sure you keep it watered. It is not a fire hazard as long as you take care of it.
Yep.
And, there's no better family tradition in our family than cutting down
that.
A Christmas tree.
Oh, my gosh. I love that tradition in your family. Now, do you put anything in the water when you say keep it freshly watered? Some people put sugar or 7-Up. Some people.
Yeah, and I always do what my mom and dad did. My mom and dad had always put aspirin in the tree.
Aspirin.
Put about 1,000 milligrams of aspirin in the tree the first day.
Yeah.
That's what we've continued to do because it obviously works.
Yeah, and the tree never gets a headache, so that's good, too.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
All right, pal. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. All right, so, we've got some good suggestions here. Here is Williams Tree Farm in Rockton, South Beloit, north of Rockford. Here's another one for Williams Tree Farm in Rockton. Pine Crest Christmas Tree near Three Oaks, Michigan. I've got a lot of suggestions here. AbbeyFarms.org for more information for Abbey's in Aurora. Yeah, so we've got some good ones here. All these Chris Kindle markets have become all the rage right now. The downtown Chris Kindle market, the one that's by Wrigley Field. Shwani, did you tell me that you went to the one at Wrigley Field at Gallagher Way?
Yes, I was there yesterday. We interviewed Lila Schmidt, who is the manager of the Wrigleyville event. And right at 11 o'clock, 11:30, they were already bustling there. Everybody was in a good mood.
Yeah,
it was a great time. And there's a Ferris wheel there also.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we were talking about the Ferris wheel earlier. That's a bit sort of replaced, looking at the windows. Remember, you'd come downtown and look at the Marshall Field's windows?
Yeah,
people love the Chris Kindle markets now. There's one out in Aurora also.
Yeah, it's all under the Midwest German-American office here. Here in Chicago, but
are they all related?
Yes,
Kindle
they're
markets?
All three. They're all three managed by the same event operation. Yes,
okay.
A German American office that's been here in Chicago for many, many years. A gentleman by the name of Ray Lotter got the idea about 27, 28 years ago. The first one was in Pioneer Square, and it went so well that then Mayor Daley said, "You know, let's move this to Daley Plaza." And off it went.
The second Mayor Daley.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Richard M., yes.
Because the first Mayor Daley didn't allow us to have any fun at all. Oh. He wouldn't let us find a pickle if his life depended on it.
A Christmas pickle. But, oh no, all three of them, you know, and of course the one in Daley Plaza here, very popular.
Oh, yeah.
The weekends are there, very, very busy.
I'll bet it's great this morning with a little bit of light snow coming down.
Mm-hmm.
I bet it's very festive over there.
Yep.
One of the other big, we've got tons of holiday productions. It's a Wonderful Life. The radio version, the old-time radio version, is up and running. The Nutcracker Suite up and running. And we have no shortage of productions of A Christmas Carol. The preeminent one is the one that is put on every year by the Goodman Theater in Chicago. Believe it or not, now in their 46th year of staging this Charles Dickens classic. And joining us on the phone line right now to talk about it is Jessica Thebus, who is the director this year of A Christmas Carol. Jessica, it's wonderful to have you on with us. Welcome to WGN.
So great to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Now, this is not your first year directing A Christmas Carol, right?
It is not. It is the third year of people up on their feet in the fully staged version, and then I did the first year in just an audio format because that was during the pandemic.
During the pandemic, right. I had forgotten about how we were all adapting and trying to keep things as normal as possible back then.
That was my first adventure.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
Then this is now the third year.
Yeah. The thing that I've always marveled at the Goodman production is how they've taken something for which we are so familiar, the Charles Dickens story of A Christmas Carol and Ebenezer Scrooge and the ghosts and Tiny Tim and, the whole legend, and it kept it fresh and relevant. And I would imagine as the director, that's got to be your biggest challenge every year, right?
Absolutely. It is challenging. It's also a great deal of fun. That particular challenge is what you want to take on as a director because you have the traditional story, and it's a wonderful story, and all the elements that Dickens gives us are just beautiful, magical, very moving. And then you want to find what makes it important this year, this particular time. And it's a lot of fun. It's like a big playground.
So how do you approach that every year of trying to keep it fresh, keep it relevant every year?
Well, there are a few things you can do. There's a lot of ways to envision the ghosts, the spirits, and the whole world that it happens in. You have a lot of freedom in that area because you know that the realistic scenes happen in Dickens' London with a lot of the images that we're very familiar with, but then the ghosts can really be anything. And in this production, the way that I love to see it is that the ghosts are really elements of the natural world. So they are nature made magical, the moon, the snow, animals, the trees, symbols. Like a great example, I think, is the holly and the ivy, the fir trees, and these have been symbols of the divine in the British Isles for thousands of years, and then they kind of take on their own magic as part of A Christmas Carol.
Yeah, the other thing that I've loved about the Goodman's Christmas Carol, other productions also do it, but none on the scale of the Goodman's production of A Christmas Carol, is its inclusion and diversity and making everybody feel like they're part of the story. That's got to be important to you as the director as well, I would guess.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's essential with this story that it really is everyone is invited to the feast. You know, if you imagine Christmas as this time of year where we're gathering, we're creating celebrations with our families. The Christmas season, of course, includes Thanksgiving, includes Hanukkah, includes Kwanzaa. There are many, many others as well. Events that gather people together in winter to share their love, to share community, to share stories. And it's really important to me that everyone feel welcome, that the Christmas Carol is not a place of exclusion or a place of one person is better than another person or more welcome, that everyone's involved. And this year, actually, we have a really wonderful new element there. We have part of the show in American Sign Language.
Oh,
we have Robert Schleifer, who is a wonderful deaf actor who is part of the Chicago theater community, is playing the role of Fezziwig. And so we have ASL in the scenes, but also in the songs. And that's been a really fun new element to explore.
Oh, that's so great. That's what I mean by being so including everyone, making everyone feel like they're a part of the show, that the show is for them. As well.
Yes.
That's what I've always loved.
Yes.
Let me take a break. We'll talk about this year's casting. I know you've got a special event tonight at the Goodman Theater for its opening mm-hmm. night. And we'll talk all about that with our guest, Jessica Thebus, who's the director of A Christmas Carol over at the Goodman Theater in Chicago. And we'll give you dates and how to get tickets and all that sort of thing. Now, our Week in Theater segment in progress, sponsored by Chicago Shakespeare Theater's 12th Night, talking with the director of the 46th annual production of A Christmas Carol that opens officially tonight at the Goodman Theater in Chicago. It'll be running through December the 31st. Jessica Thebus joins us on the phone line. So, Jessica, talk to us a little bit about your casting for this year. Once again, your Ebenezer Scrooge is right out there. He's done it, I think, what, 16 years now, Larry Yando?
Yeah. Yes, I think that's right. I think it is 16 years. Larry Yando is our Ebenezer Scrooge. And then Austin Tischner also plays Scrooge at certain performances. Both of them absolutely wonderful. And Larry's history with the show is such a moving thing. And as we were speaking before, you know, we were talking about how to keep something that is traditional also fresh. I think that's the great thing about ritual, that you can really have traditions are important and the structure is important, but then you have to have really new things. And Larry's performance really carries that from an actor's point of view, because he's been doing it a very long time, but I watch it all the way through rehearsal, and it is fresh every single time. And yeah, that's the magic of what actors do, and there's not a better example of it.
Yeah, he has, you know, sort of defined what Ebenezer Scrooge is in Chicago at the Goodman Theater with his performances there, you know, through the years. But the rest of your casting as well, I mean, it's the casting, it's the magic of theater. Right. I mean, all the other things that go into this that surround Ebenezer Scrooge that also make this production so special. Talk to us about some of those things.
Oh, yes. I mean, there's just a wonderful group of people, and it's a large cast. And then we also have the understudies who often go in for Christmas Carol because there's so many people. So a lot of them get a chance to perform. That always brings something new. We have the kids, a wonderful cast of young performers who add their own special insights and presence to the show. Another wonderful performer in the piece is Lucky Stiff, who plays the Ghost of Christmas Past, and they are a Chicago drag performer and performance artist, and also do makeup for themselves, really creating the character the same way that they would create the drag character, and that is on stage and woven into the story. And I'm really proud of that kind of thing. You know, just these wonderful performers who are unique individuals on their own, but then we braid everything together in this really magical holiday tapestry, and that's a great deal of fun.
Yeah, that is really something. Is the Tiny Tim moment at the end of the show, is that still the big showstopper for audiences?
Yeah, I would think so.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert, by the way, if you haven't followed the story over the past couple of hundred years.
Yep. God bless us, everyone.
And talk to me a little bit about Tiny Tim and who plays. You probably have a couple of actors, I would think, young actors taking on that role. That's usually what they do with child performances, right?
Yes, yes. We have a whole great group of young performers. And Christian plays Tiny Tim, and he is absolutely wonderful. But yes, there are other actors who can rotate through that role and then through all the children of different ages. There is something the kids get to do this year, which is a little bit different in the future sequence, which I won't describe in detail, but they get to play birds, and it's really fun. And it's not only the multi-generational acting company, which is great, but, you know, the audience is so many generations, too. I had a talk in the lobby with a young girl. She was probably about 8, and she was at the theater with her mother, her grandmother, and her great-grandmother.
Wow.
So that was four.
That's so great.
I know, and how often do you get to do that?
Yeah, that's great. I mean, we were talking about Chicago traditions in the previous segment. We were talking about, you know, people, you know, family traditions of going to cut down their own Christmas tree. But for a lot of people, part of the Christmas tradition, the holiday tradition, is coming down to the Goodman Theater, bring the whole family, and come and see the show. And I love when you get multi-generations like that doing this. It's great for the Goodman Theater, but I love those kinds of things for families where you're creating memories like that that last a lifetime.
Oh, yes. And you get to talk about it. You know, what do you think this was? And what do you think this was? And, you know, just the details of the story. It's just a wonderful chance to have a conversation within a family with people of different generations that you wouldn't ordinarily have. And that's great fun as well.
Yeah. You have a special event. Tonight is the official opening night for the show. And
it is.
There are some other special things that are going on tonight as well, correct?
Yes, there is the tree lighting in the Goodman lobby. That will be at 6:30. There's a choir singing, and we will light the Goodman's beautiful Christmas tree. And that's all before the opening night show, which is tonight at 7.
That's great. You had talked about some performances that are done in American Sign Language. You have specific performances set up through the run, which, you know, goes through New Year's Eve, that are accessible and enhanced and ACL interpreted. So lots of opportunities for that, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. I don't know exactly those dates right at the moment, but they're on the Goodman website. And then part of every show is also in ASL this year. So that will be an interesting combination. Really, really fun.
Yeah, I love that. I know that there are some Spanish subtitled performances, which will also take place. I mean, it's so inclusive. And really, that's what this show in particular is all about, I think.
That's what I totally agree with you.
Yeah. Christmas Carol, A Christmas Carol, is at the Goodman Theater in Chicago through December the 31st. You can get tickets by going to goodmantheater.org or by calling 312-443-4444. 3,800. So lots of opportunities between now and the end of the year to come and check out this show. I really appreciate you joining us, Jessica. Thank you so much. I can't wait to see this year's production, and have a great opening night tonight.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure speaking with you.
Jessica Thebus, director of A Christmas Carol over at the Goodman Theater. All right. Well, we'll continue with today's elements that we have on today's show. Rob Reiner, actor, director Rob Reiner, still to come on the program here this morning. And lots of nice texts this morning, because really this is the first Sunday that we've all been back together for a little while.
It's been a while, yeah. Yeah.
And although one, I was a little puzzled by one of the texts. It's very nice, but I scratched my head a little bit. What?
Just go ahead.
Well,
go ahead.
Here, yeah, from the 708 area code. Glad to hear you all back on together again. Sunday mornings aren't the same without all four of you.
Four of us.
Hmm. Four.
Is there somebody on this show that I don't know? That I haven't met yet?
I don't know.
Four. Let's see.
All four of us.
Could that be the fourth?
I don't know.
I'm trying to think about that myself.
Yeah. Oh, that's perplexing.
Maybe, you know, we just have magnanimous personalities that make it seem like
we seem
four
bigger than
here.
Bigger yeah. than.
Oh, if there's doubles of us, we are in big trouble.
That's very true. Yeah, really.
One's enough.
That's that is not a multiple that you want, believe me. thank you. Many very nice messages this morning about us all being back assembled here on Sunday morning. Here's the 217 area code. Good morning, gentlemen. Gentlemen?
Where?
Gentlemen?
Who walked in?
Who came in?
You are speaking incorrectly.
Good morning, gentlemen. you are my Sunday go-to.
Oh, nice.
Love your show and the entire crew.
That's awesome.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Some people texting in that the texter who said all four of us may have been referring to Elton Jim Toronto, because he's on the show, semi-regular on the show.
Okay. That
could be it. He and his magical brooch. So, yeah, maybe it's Elton Jim. Some people are saying perhaps it's producer Jack.
Oh, that's true, too.
Because we have Jack on the show once in a while. But Jack's not here today.
Jack is playing with his hockey friends.
Jack is taking the Sunday off today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here. I'm working.
Yeah, I'm here.
Andy's here. Schwani's here.
Well, let's introduce our producer of the morning, then.
Yeah, it's Patrick.
Patrick.
Producer Patrick.
Right.
Hello, Patrick.
You want to be the fourth today?
Yeah, good morning, everybody.
Yeah. He's the fourth person on the show today.
There we go.
Okay.
Sadly, Jack won't be back. Jack is dead to me now.
Oh, man.
Happy Thanksgiving.
See what you have to deal with, Patrick?
Happy Thanksgiving.
I woke up, I saw the snow, I thought, maybe I won't come in today.
Yeah.
Oh, that would have been bad for you.
Yeah. Uncle Dean would not have liked that.
No,
that
not at all.
You made the wise choice.
You had a good choice. Now, we miss Jack, but Patrick's doing a very fine job today.
Sounds terrific. Dean. Yeah.
Appreciate it.
I don't usually look forward to the days when Jack is not here, because honestly, he does most of the work on the show. As you both can attest, right?
Oh, yes.
I really only just get in the way here.
He runs a strict rehearsal, too, before the show.
Nor does he remember how to get to the building.
Sometimes I do
he
forget.
He has to be, escorted.
As we pointed out, I wasn't sure what floor we were on.
See you in the lobby down there.
Asking the security guard what floor we're on.
Who did you say? What? Where am I?
Sir, don't you come in here every week for the last 30 years?
Well, I think so.
Well, anyway, here we all are. And by the way, I should have said thank you, Elton Jim. Last week he filled in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was he here?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. He was here.
Did he behave?
Yeah, I wasn't here.
Was he all right?
Yes, he was fine.
Because I know Schwani sometimes gets into it with him.
He was fine.
I had to separate them once. They were wrestling on the floor. I think they were wrestling on the floor.
Ooh,
okay. Stop it.
Not 100% sure what was going on. But I had to get a crowbar and separate them.
You are making that up.
I had
now.
To go get a garden hose. And spray them.
Garden hose.
Which is not easy to do on the 18th floor of a high rise. But by all accounts, Elton did a nice job.
He was fine,
in.
Yes.
Yeah, we got a lot of nice comments. So thank you to Elton Jim for the fill-in last week. I'm sorry to announce we've got there's a showbiz death that I think will touch a lot of people of a certain age. The guy who gave us this has passed away.
H.R. Puff and Steph, who's your friend when things get rough? H.R. Puff and Steph, can't do a little because he can't do enough.
Look at Andy chair dancing.
Oh, yeah. I'm of that certain age.
This is right in your wheelhouse,
yes,
right?
Yes, indeed.
Shawnee? H.R. Puff and Stuff? Anything?
A little past your time? A little past, but I certainly do remember the show. Yeah. Sure.
I don't know why I remember Witchy Poo so much on that show.
I remember that, yeah. Witchy Probably Poo. Just the name stuck with me.
I did like the name Witchy Poo.
Yeah.
Yeah. The kooky old witch.
Kooky old witch. Yeah. Wasn't he responsible for Land of the Lost as well?
Land of the Lost,
responsible
right?
Responsible for
right.
lots of shows. And Marty Croft is who we're talking about. He was the co-producer along with his brother of H.R. Puff and Stuff, Land of the Lost, Lidsville, Sigmund and the Sea Monsters,
oh, yeah.
Far Out Space Nuts, which was also Shawnee's nickname in high school, by the way.
I had many other nicknames in school. Believe me.
The Lost Saucer, The Croft Super Show, Dr. Shrinker, Bigfoot and the Wild Boy. I don't remember some of those last ones, but I definitely remember Lidsville, Sigmund and the Sea Monsters. The Boogaloos, remember the Boogaloos? I remember that.
No, I don't remember that.
But also, here's something I didn't know till I was reading the obit this morning, that Sid and Marty Croft also were the creators of the primetime show, Donnie and Marie Show.
Really? Oh, they were?
The variety show.
Oh, okay.
And the Brady Bunch Hour, and Barbara Mandrell and the Mandrell Sisters.
Wow.
Remember those classic variety shows from back in the day? But, yeah, H.R. Puff and Stuff was... classic. That is a classic. He died of kidney failure in Los Angeles, surrounded by family and friends, and was a staple of Sunday morning TV back in the 1970s. What was your favorite Saturday morning show? Do you have a favorite?
I was a big fan of the Bugs Bunny Roadrunner Hour.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Overture.
Sure.
Cut the lights. This is it. We'll hit the heights.
And oh, what heights we'll hit.
On with the show. This is it. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Andy and I don't
Patrick,
get to do...
Patrick, aren't you glad you came in today?
I don't do some harmony much anymore.
I like the Power Rangers.
Power Rangers.
Oh, my Saturday morning show.
Look at that. Look at the generational...
How about Mighty Mouse?
This shirt that I have on is older than the Power Rangers. which one did you say?
Mighty Mouse.
Oh, Mighty
Mouse. And Casper the Friendly Ghost.
Friendliest ghost you know. That's all I remember of that one.
Mighty Mouse, yes.
How'd the Mighty Mouse song go?
Mr. Something,
something
never hangs around
when he hears this mighty sound. Here I come to save the day. You know that Mighty Mouse is on his way.
Well, we just lost Ron Brown in the newsroom here.
He loves it. People pretend they don't like our singing.
Exactly right. Wait till next week.
You know,
jealous.
Sooner, you know, at one time or another, you'd always see a Superman rerun on Saturdays.
The animated.
That and the George Reeves.
I loved, you know what?
Yeah.
I wasn't that big of a fan of the animated.
No, not quite.
I loved Superman. Friends. Super Friends, right?
Meantime, back at the Hall of Justice.
But I love me some George Reeves. Though.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Every time in the cartoon version, every time Clark Kent would change into the Superman outfit, you know, he had a rather high-pitched, innocent-sounding voice. And then when trouble came up, it would be, "This is a job for Superman." His voice would suddenly deepen. See what you missed, Patrick?
Yeah, Patrick turned in his resignation.
No comment.
Do you watch Andy Griffith?
Oh, jeez.
I've seen it.
Do you know who Andy Griffith is?
I know who Andy Griffith is. I've seen the show. I know it exists, yeah. But...
He's humoring us right now.
I know.
I'm kind of in that boat, too.
He's kind of humoring us right now. You know what I had happen last week? One of our producers over at the WGN-TV Morning News, maybe you've heard of it?
I have.
The number one morning TV show in Chicago.
There's
my day job, as I like to call it. I was talking with one of our producers who maybe is like 35 years old, 37, 30, you know, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And I said something about Jackie Gleason.
Oh, you mentioned this last week.
And I dropped my jaw to the ground when this television producer did not know who Jackie Gleason was.
Didn't know who that person was.
Did not know who Jackie
at all.
Had never heard of him.
Really?
That's crazy.
I said, Honeymooners? You don't know? Nope. Don't know what you're talking about.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, to
relate, let alone the variety show he had in the 60s from Miami.
To kind of tie that into a sports story, back in 2007, when the Bears were in the Super Bowl in South Florida, the Radio Row was in the Jackie Gleason Center.
Yeah.
Right downtown.
Oh, is that right?
Lauderdale.
Really?
Yeah. Lots of memorabilia and just the big name.
That's
on the front.
A fantastic place. Oh, I completely dorked out when I went to Miami. The fun and sun capital of America.
Didn't you find his?
I went to his grave.
Grave?
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's what it's like vacationing with me.
Hey, ever, let's go to the cemetery.
You ever want to know what it's like to be on vacation with me? I went to the cemetery and I found Jackie Gleason's tomb. It's not just a grave.
No, it's a very, very large
He
tomb.
Lived large in life and in death. He did the same. It is a extremely elaborate, it's like a, not a mausoleum, but...
A crypt.
It's like a crypt. It's an above-ground crypt.
Yeah. Mm.
And you know who is laid to rest right next to him?
Who?
June Taylor.
Oh, is that right?
Of the June Taylor Dancers.
Yeah, and there are people that might not even, if they don't know who Jackie Gleason is, they won't know June Taylor.
Who's June Taylor, Uncle Dean?
I don't know who June Taylor is.
I don't know who June Taylor is.
Did you know,
either.
Patrick, did you know who Jackie Gleason is?
I don't. See? I'm 23, though. I might have more of an excuse.
Yeah.
23?
Come on, you're in broadcasting.
Okay. You must leave now.
You're dead to me now, too, Patrick. No, I'm kidding. Why would you know? Why would he know?
Well, I mean, there's so much available now.
This is like when our parents talked about, or Shawnee and I's parents, not Andy, because Andy's younger, too. But Shawnee, how about it? Like when our parents would talk about, Kay Kaiser.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
Fibber McGee and Molly. Yeah. And you could go to the streetcar on a nickel and, you know, that kind of stuff. And your eyes would roll into the back of your head while they were talking that. That's us now.
Yes,
it is.
You know, with YouTube and all that, though, I mean, what's old is new. I mean, there's a lot of people rediscovering things that you never would expect a 23-year-old to even have heard about, but now they can recite lines and they know.
Right. You know what? I can look it up during the next news break.
There you go.
Can learn
resourceful,
about
Jackie.
Can learn about Jackie Gleason in the next news break.
You don't know the real McCoys either, Patrick?
Oh, come on, Schwani.
I don't.
Okay.
Don't even compare Jackie Gleason to the real McCoys. Not even close. Jackie Gleason is one of the greatest entertainers of
ever,
all time.
Ever.
Of all time. And his show, The Honeymooners, one of the greatest television shows of all time. Right?
Yes. Yes. And we almost
Zoom!
One of these days, Alice.
Baby, you're the greatest.
But we almost never missed the variety show on Saturday night.
Yeah, he did do
in the 60s.
Yeah, he did do a good variety show, too. I'm telling you, Patrick and all you other young punks out there listening.
Young punks.
Do yourself a favor.
You whippersnappers.
Learn about Jackie Gleason still, too. Come on the program. We'll get to my conversation with Hannah Waddingham. She's one of the stars of the smash comedy Ted Lasso. She's got a brand new Christmas special. If you like the old-fashioned variety shows like we were just talking about, you're going to like this show. It's an old-fashioned variety holiday show, Christmas show, that she hosts with lots of guests and surprises and wonderful Christmas songs. She is quite the singer. I mean, people know her from Ted Lasso, but she spent much of her career, I think it's correct to say most of her career, on stage at the on the West End in London. So she is quite the song and dance person. We'll get to that coming up before the end of the program today. And also coming up next on the show, my conversation with Rob Reiner, actor-director Rob Reiner. He's got a new podcast about the assassination of John F. Kennedy. That's coming right up. Talking about the greatest television shows of all time, All in the Family would definitely be one of those. That high note that Edith Dreisand gets me every time. The show premiered in 1971 and ran on CBS until 1979 and has been in rerun heaven ever since. I still watch it all the time. I think it's so brilliant. It's so brilliantly acted, so brilliantly written. The topics that they dealt with, the boundaries that they broke on that show on national television were still unprecedented, in my opinion. It starred Carol O'Connor, of course, as the irrepressible Archie Bunker. Gene Stapleton as Edith, his wife. Gloria, his daughter on the show, of course. Rob Reiner starring as Mike Stivic on the show. Meathead, as he was called. The liberal voice on the show of this very conservative Archie Bunker, just led to great conversations. And Rob Reiner still going from being the son of the legendary Carl Reiner to being a part of this legendary television show as an actor. Rob Reiner parlayed his work then into being a film producer, film director, rather, with movies like When Harry Met Sally and This Is Spinal Tap and, I mean, the list goes on of classic films that he was responsible for. His most recent project is a documentary that he does about comedian Albert Brooks, which we talked about in our interview, but also a podcast on which he investigates and talks about the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. Talked with them on Zoom last week.
Well, I mean, I was 16 when Kennedy was assassinated. And like everybody else, I can remember exactly where I was when it happened. I was in my physics class in high school. One of the students walked in, whispered in the teacher's ear. He turned to the class and said, "I have some terrible news." And he told us what happened. Sent us all home from school, and I watched. I watched like everybody else, nonstop, until the moment when Lee Harvey Oswald was murdered. I saw it on live television by Jack Ruby, and I went, "What is happening here? What is going on?" It was a national trauma. The entire country was traumatized by this, and it never left me. And, you know, information has come out over the years in drips and drabs. And every time something comes out that adds more information, sheds new light, I try to follow it and figure out what's going on. The reason I wanted to do the podcast is because people, unless they're paying real attention to a new revelation that comes out, they don't know how it fits together in the whole picture. And so what I wanted to do with the 60 years that we've had is put everything together from everything I've learned. I've read all the books. I've talked to forensic experts. I've been to Dealey Plaza many times. I've talked to people who were there, all the people who are still alive that were there. I've talked to Secret Service agents, CIA agents. And based on all the information I have, we put this podcast together and try to explain it to people in a way that people can understand if they don't know anything about it. Or people who know a lot about it will still be interested to find out new revelations. So it's been something that I've cared about and been. I think about it this way: you lose your family member, somebody who you love, is murdered, and you don't know why, and you don't know who did it. You'll do anything to find out what happened. And those of us who were alive at the time want to know what happened. So we did this podcast. I did it with Soledad O'Brien, who's a wonderful journalist. And together, we put together this podcast. And I think by the end of it, you'll have a greater understanding of what happened on that day.
Yeah, because I guess, you know, as time goes on, you know, you and I remember exactly where we were at that moment when it happened. But younger generations, you know, may as well be talking about Julius Caesar or you know, like some mythical character.
Exactly.
They don't know and honestly really don't care that much as time goes on. And they just accept what's been issued publicly, that it was the act of a lone gunman, Lee Harvey Oswald, and all of the things that we have that we've been spoon-fed as being the truth on this. Your findings show really were not the truth, right?
No, we now know it wasn't the truth. But at the time, there was no reason to believe it wasn't. I mean, coming out of the Second World War, we were the heroes. We were the good guys. We had defeated fascism. And we believed our government. At the time, when the government told us something, I think there was like 70% you know, acceptance of what the government said. Now, the government, we're at like in the teens of what we accept that the government tells us. And the beginning of this distrust in government, I believe, started with the Kennedy assassination. The more and more that's revealed, the more we realize we've been lied to. We've been lied to all these years. And my feeling is, if we're going to have any hope of democracy surviving, and right now we are under assault, there is no question about it. We're at a reflection point now where democracy can either survive or, you know, destroyed into the dustbin of history. Democracy, for its survival, has to be based on truth. We have to know that the government is telling us the truth. We have to come to grips with what we did with Native Americans. We have to come to grips with what we did with slaves and with black people. We have to come to grips with all of this. And if we are going to be a healthy democracy, we have to get to the truth of things. And so that's why this is important still to me.
So with your research, then, what is the truth? What are the biggest fallacies of what we have for years accepted as being the truth behind who killed JFK?
Well, the one thing that we know for sure, based on all the information that we have, is that it was not a lone gunman, that Lee Harvey Oswald did not by himself kill the president of the United States. That just didn't happen. If you look at all its forensics, if you look at all the motives and who is involved, and I've talked to everybody. I've talked to people who were there. I've been to Dealey Plaza many, many times. You cannot come to any other conclusion based on what we know. So that we will know for sure. By the end of the podcast, you'll know that this was not one person by himself. What we don't know exactly, and we're going to talk about the shooters that we think did this and where they were positioned in Dealey Plaza. We can't know for sure about that because there's still 5,000 documents that are being withheld. I'm not saying that's going to be a smoking gun in there, but what we have found out as documents have been released over the years is that there was a direct connection between Lee Harvey Oswald and the CIA. That we know. In the Warren Commission report, they said there was no, that they didn't know very much about Lee Harvey Oswald. They heard about it, but they weren't really. But now we found out that for 4 years, they were tracking every single movement that Lee Harvey Oswald was making. That's now record. We know that to be true. So we know the government has been lying to us for all this time. And what we try to do with this podcast is put it all together in a way that people will understand what happened.
The you know, stories that I've heard through the years, speculations have implicated Castro, have implicated, as you say, the CIA. And, you know, usually when I bring up Chicago and try to bring some Chicago connection, I'm a little more proud than I am right now when I say there actually may have been some Chicago connection with Sam Giancana and the Chicago mob at the time, right?
Yes, there was. We talk about that specifically in the documentary. There was one thing we don't get into in the documentary, and that does involve Chicago, is that there was an assassination attempt planned for Chicago that was uncovered, and the trip that Kennedy had to Chicago was scuttled because of what they had discovered. It was a Secret Service agent named Abraham Bolden who discovered. He had been on the presidential detail. He was then stationed in Chicago, and he discovered that there was this plan, and they thwarted it, and it went away. So that was one thing. But yes, Giancana was definitely involved in helping find assassins. There was a guy named Charles Nicoletti, who we know about, and we will name all the assassins when we get to the 10th episode.
So, you know, if you got all this information, how is this not, you know, like the biggest headline news that, you know, you put all the pieces together, you connect all the dots, and it seems to show something pretty conclusive. People are still not really talking about it at the highest levels, right?
Well, they're not. And the reason, and this is really tricky, because like I say, over 60 years, there's been a revelation will come out. And you'll go, ooh, that's interesting. But the media doesn't ever start putting it all together. And we're still learning things. That's the interesting. I mean, Paul Landis, who was a Secret Service agent who was in the trail car behind Kennedy, spoke out for the first time a couple of months ago. And we put him on the podcast. We never knew about that. He was never interviewed by the Warren Commission, nor was any Secret Service agent who was there that day interviewed by the Warren Commission. So there's so much that we're learning as we go along. And I think it takes a desire to try to put it all together and make people understand. We approach it like a murder mystery, the greatest murder mystery in American history. And if you're going to do that, you as a detective, you go, okay, who has the motive? Who are the suspects? Who has the motive? What are the forensics? What was the situation surrounding it when it occurred? When you start looking at all that, it becomes fairly clear. The one thing that we know for sure is that it was a conspiracy. And by the way, most Americans believe that. Right now where we sit, about 65% of Americans believe it was a conspiracy. At one point, virtually no Americans believed it was a conspiracy. We believe what the Warren Commission said. Then as time has gone by, at one point, up to 85% believed it was a conspiracy. Now we sit where we sit right now. It's about 65%.
Director Rob Reiner not only talks about his JFK podcast, which, by the way, you can pick up anywhere you listen to podcasts, but he also has directed a new documentary on the career and life of his childhood friend, comedian Albert Brooks. We continue with our A-list interview for today with Rob Reiner, son of Carl Reiner, actor from All in the Family, director of a great motion picture, Stand By Me. This is Spinal Tap, one of my favorites, When Harry Met Sally. The list goes on and on and on and on. And he is now part of this new Who Killed JFK podcast, which is available wherever you listen to podcasts. Pretty interesting stuff. And he has just directed a new film, a documentary on the life of comedian Albert Brooks, who I think is a genius, one of my favorite comedians of all time. But turns out that Albert Brooks was a childhood friend of Rob Reiner's, and so he had a, you know, completely different perspective on this comic genius.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, first of all, Albert's a dear friend of mine. We met in high school. We've been friends, close friends ever since. We shared a house together at one point. So I love doing it, and the man is a genius. He's to me the funniest man I've ever met. And it was a pleasure to be able to make a documentary about him and introduce him to people who didn't know a lot about what Albert's done over the years. So if you want a big laugh, a good laugh, there's lots of good laughs in it and revelations about Albert's personal life. You know, tune in. It's on Max and, you know, you can check it out.
Yeah. Was it obvious to you when you were high school buddies that he was a comedic genius back then?
Yes, he was. He and even at age 16, he was like a prodigy. He was the only he made my dad laugh hysterically one time. He did a routine in the house, and he at age 16 could make professional comedians, people who were, regarded, highly regarded in the industry. He could make them laugh at age 16. And my father once said he was the funniest guy he ever, and he and Mel Brooks to my dad were the two funniest people he ever knew.
Do you remember what he did for your dad that made your dad laugh so hysterically?
He, by the way, he would come up with these things off the top of his head. He never planned anything. As a matter of fact, when he went on national television on the Carson Show or any other where, he did a bit for the first time. He never tried it out in the club. He'd have an idea and then he'd go on television and do it for the first time on national television. But he came to the house one day and he said, you know, I've been working on this escape artist idea, and I think I've perfected it. I think it's like one of the great escape routines ever. And so we said, okay. So he put his hands out like this, and he said, here, he gave us a napkin, you know, a cloth napkin. He says, tie my hands up. And then I draped it over his hands. He said, that's enough. Never even tied it, just draped it over his hands. He said, I can't get out of this. And then he said he stuffed some Kleenex in his mouth. He says, I can't breathe. And then he went behind a curtain. And the idea was to get out from behind the curtain with a napkin draped over his hands and Kleenex. And after a couple of me, the curtain is rustling and you hear him behind it. I can't breathe. Help me. And we pull the curtain back and he falls out and he's take it out. And, you know, we undo it. I mean, there was nothing to undo. And my dad was screaming hysterical.
That's fantastic. Oh, my gosh. Was there anything that surprised you, considering that you've known him all your life? When you're doing the documentary, was there something that's like, oh, I didn't know that about Albert?
No, I know pretty much everything about
him. You know all the juicy details. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've been close to him for so many years that, I know pretty much. And I could lead him into stories that he could tell. And sometimes, you know, I led him to places where it might have been a little bit uncomfortable for him to talk about some of his personal stuff. But I think he trusted me enough to be able to reveal certain things. And I think that's, we got the great mix of great comedy and hopefully emotional stuff.
Yeah, Defending My Life. It's on Max. You have to watch it. Rob, thank you so much for all the great stuff that you do, for your social consciousness, for caring about America. I admire you greatly, and I thank you so much. Not to mention that I still watch All in the Family all the time also.
It's weird, those issues are still relevant.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy how fresh all of that still is. Yeah. It's a pleasure to talk to you. I hope you have a wonderful holiday, Rob. Thank you so much.
You too. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
There you go. The great Rob Reiner talking not only about his new documentary about Albert Brooks, Defending My Life, which is on Max, but also his new podcast, Who Shot JFK? Available wherever you get podcasts. The All in the Family veteran. Which, you know, those great reruns are still out there. And it, just like he said, you'll be amazed how relevant all the topics are, in some cases even more so than they were back then, given the everything that's going on politically and in the world right now. I was in Los Angeles last week. That's why I wasn't here. And tomorrow I'm going to London, England. You've heard of it, haven't you?
Now, are we going to have to address you as sir when you come back?
Not necessarily, but I would like it if you'd curtsy.
That'll be the day.
Is that too much trouble?
That'll be the day.
That'd be something to see.
Would you like you want anything special?
Do I want anything special?
You want a souvenir?
I don't know.
I'm sure I can find some Prince Charles and Camilla salt and pepper shakers.
That would be okay.
I'm sure they're probably selling those all over the place now. I haven't been there in years before the pandemic. I mean, we would go fairly often to do interviews there. I haven't been there in years. So,
how many times have you been there?
Quite a few.
Do you have a favorite place to go? Do you have some favorite restaurants?
Do you have a
Not really.
Not really?
No. I mean, I find places, you know, and I go in and I'll have fish and chips and a pint.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really know the names of the places. I guess I should pay better attention. But I enjoy being there. You know what I am looking forward to most? London is absolutely beautiful before Christmas time. They decorate so beautifully there. So I am looking forward to that very much.
Oh, those great old buildings would lend itself to that.
The great old buildings, but they decorate with Christmas lights, not the way we do along the perimeters of the streets, but for like one side of the street to the other. So it's almost like a canopy of lights above you when you're walking down the street and driving. It's just lights and displays are everywhere.
Did you notice how he said canopy?
Canopy.
Not a canopy.
I'm a fancy talking kind of guy. When I get over there,
you're going to have a British accent next week. I can just hear this.
They would never know I'm from the South Side when I go over there. These lights over here are great. I love them. Hannah Waddingham, who you know from the television series Ted Lasso. She's got a brand new holiday variety special, which is on Apple TV Plus. If you like the old, holiday variety shows like, what, Andy Williams, Perry Como, remember all those? Who else had, great variety shows back in the day? This show is very much like that. I think you'll enjoy it. And in a couple of minutes, we'll share that full interview with you. So stick around for that. We covered a lot of ground on today's show here today. We were, talking with WGN-TV weather producer Bill Snyder, Tom Skilling's right-hand man, about the snow and, all that we're going to have today. It's tapering off around the Chicago area, as he said it would, and then he said it's going to get cold the next couple of days. If you want to hear the full interview, we're going to put it up on the web after the show. You'll be able to hear the entire show, because who wouldn't want to listen to this show for a second, third, or, as Andy likes to do in his spare time, fourth time. Andy likes to just relive the show over and over and over.
I have it on repeat.
Right. And for Schwani, it's just like hearing it for the first time, because he doesn't really pay attention to anything that goes on during the show.
What'd you say?
See? Exactly what I meant. We had a lot of good stuff on the show today.
Oh, yeah.
I got to say, really, considering...
Considering what?
Considering how this show usually is. Where we goof around a lot and we laugh.
We're so well rehearsed.
But I mean, we actually acted like professional broadcasters today.
Well, we have to sometime or other, don't we?
Should we issue the apology now or should we wait?
No, I think we did a good job today.
Is this one of our award-winning broadcasts then?
I'm going to submit this for some awards.
Okay.
I don't know which awards.
Good, you're going to make up an award and then just give it to ourselves, right?
I think we have already won every possible award there could possibly be. We had really interesting interviews, I think, today. Got a lot of nice texts about the Rob Reiner interview. Thank you. I thought it was a really interesting interview. I'm glad everyone else enjoyed it. But here's one from the 847 area code. I won't read the part where they gloat about us, but it also says, love your show, Dave and Andy. A wonderful chemistry between the three of us.
Uh-uh.
Best to you all for this festive season.
Right back
at you. And best to you also. How do they say Merry Christmas in London? You're going to have to figure this out.
Do they just say Merry?
No. They may. You know, they I don't
do
know.
They do speak English there.
Yes, I know that.
But just go watch Love Actually. You'll find out.
I am going to be interviewing.
We're going to do the show with all British accents next week. I'm telling you.
I am interviewing Hugh Grant, by the way.
Well, there you go.
Okay.
Speaking of Love Actually.
You're just going to be, yes.
I'm right. Name-dropping, right? This is the name-dropping portion of our program. I'm interviewing Timothy Chalamet, who plays Willy Wonka in this new Wonka movie. It's a prequel to the Gene Wilder movie. And I saw it already. It's so delightful, really nice for families. It's musical. It's an interesting story. It's funny. Timothée Chalamet as Wonka is great. But I'll tell you, who steals this movie? Hugh Grant as an Oompa Loompa is hilariously funny in this movie. So I'm going to talk with those guys, other members of the cast. Oh, and listen to what else we're doing when we're there. We're going to go to a chocolate factory, an English chocolate factory, and they're going to teach me how to make chocolates.
Ooh.
So that,
you have to bring some back for us.
I was going to say, next Sunday.
You think the chocolates in my bag are going to last that long?
Well, figure out a way.
You think it's going to work in the carry-on? Like I'm not going to dig into those halfway across the ocean? I'll try to bring you. I really want to bring you the Charles and Camilla salt and pepper shakers.
The salt and pepper shakers, okay.
You know, it would be nice if it was Charles and Camilla gravy boats and the gravy poured out of their mouths.
Oh, man.
Only you would think of that.
I'll bet somebody sells them. I'll bet you can find some somewhere. I'm going to look for the cheesiest thing I could possibly find to bring back for both of you. The both of yous.
The both of yous.
Both of yous.
Yeah, so anywho, we're going to make. I can't wait. I'm so excited. I'm almost more excited about the chocolate making than I am
doing the interviews.
Yeah, I'm excited about the interviews. It's a great movie. I'm excited to talk to them. But this ties in with my whole, my cooking side hustle that I've got going on.
That's right.
Right now. I leave tomorrow. I'll be back here. I'll be off the TV morning show all week, but I'll be back here next Sunday with you. The cheesiest souvenirs I can possibly find.
Okay.
Love it.
I'm waiting with anticipation.
Oh, if I can find those gravy boats.
That would be the salt and pepper shakers will do.
Yeah. I like to find something a little cheesier than that. unless the salt comes right out of Charles's mouth and the pepper from Camille.
Yeah, I was going to say, who's the salt and who's the pepper?
I think we know that the king is always salt.
Okay.
And pepper comes out of the top of Camilla's head.
Are you going to have a spot of tea while you're there?
Oh, naturally.
Okay.
Naturally.
Some crumpets?
A spot of tea.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever had crumpets, I'd be up for some.
Yeah.
Have you ever had crumpets, Ronnie?
No, I don't
you're
believe
pretty,
I have.
Pretty well-traveled.
I'm not quite sure what a crumpet is, to be honest with you.
Isn't it like a cookie?
It's a little cookie, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Right. I've had Salerno butter cookies, but I haven't had crumpets.
Do you put them on your little finger when you
I used to. Yes. Just like you do with bugles, right?
Yeah, you put them on your fingertips, but the Salerno butter cookies, you put them on your finger and then you eat the round parts.
Yes, I used to do that.
And then until they're even, and then you take the whole cookie down.
That reminds me of that old circular tin that one of the, what was the company here in Chicago that made, they had the variety packs of like the
Maurice Slanel.
Maurice Slanel.
That's
yeah.
Maurice Slanel.
Oh, those were so good.
Those were good.
The little chocolate swirl ones in there, too. Oh, man.
There was one with a cherry in the middle of it.
Exactly.
I love those.
Yes, sir.
They had those great commercials, too. There was a young baker.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. No, I'm trying to think of that.
It used to be when I listened to Cubs games here back my childhood.
Yeah.
Maurice Slanel.
Yeah. His cookies are just simply
good.
Yeah, good stuff.
Okay.
Well, sorry about that tangent, but that's what this kind of reminded me of.
We sound like three old guys in a Viagra commercial right now. All right. Well, thank you for all of the corrections on our text line about what is a crumpet. Clearly, the three of us know nothing. Crumpet, I've never had one. I have had no way of knowing this. Crumpets are actually more like English muffins. According to many of you on our text line, they're more like English. One person said it's a cross between an English muffin and a pancake. So not a cookie, like we said that it was. But we try not to let accuracy get in the way of us talking about anything here. But thank you very much for all of the corrections on that. Maybe I'll go out of my way to find some nice crumpets while I'm there, so I can give you a firsthand report about what they're like. Okay, so we're going to wind things up here with our conversation with Hannah Waddingham from the series. Well, Ted Lasso. I was completely blanking on that. From Ted Lasso. That's going to be coming up in a second. Real quick, though, I wanted to remind you, next Sunday here on the program, my one-on-one conversation with Bradley Cooper and Carey Mulligan for what I think, at least what I've seen so far, is the best movie of the year so far, Maestro, the movie about Leonard Bernstein. I'll tell you much more about the movie during the week. I will tell you much more when we have the interviews with Bradley Cooper and Carey Mulligan next week right here on WGN. So stand by and let's learn more about the big Christmas special with Hannah Waddingham here on WGN. I have four words to describe what I am seeing right now. Va, 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 boom. Wow.
And that's just amazing. The Christmas tree.
Wow, I didn't even see a Christmas tree in there. You've got me completely distracted. You look fantastic. The special looks absolutely fantastic. What made you want to do something like this?
I think being a theater girl to my core, 22 years in the West End and on Broadway, I mean, it was time.
And did you take inspiration from, you know, holiday specials that we all grew up with? I mean, here in the U.S., every big celebrity, you know, did a holiday special.
Yeah.
Did you have something like that?
Well, do you know what, Dean? Not so much in recent times, but when I was talking to Apple about it with my manager, Nick Tedisco, we both said the biggest thing for me is kicking it old school and taking us back to the time of, you know, I wanted it to be a marriage of kind of Dean Martin meets Carol Burnett. And that old school, like you're imagining, like people are coming round to this beautiful place and just it's all about the music and the food and the and just all everyone looking in their finest. And that old school thing that I think sometimes is a little lost. And I just wanted it to be timeless music, looking timeless, and I wanted everyone to look their best selves. And I think we managed to encapsulate that, and I couldn't be more thrilled with it.
Yeah, mission accomplished with that.
Thank you.
And man, if ever there was a year that we needed something like this,
right?
Just to take our minds off of the woes that
yes.
are all over the world.
Absolutely.
Right now. This is it. Talk to me a little bit about some of the guests, because I mean, you talk about like Dean Martin and Carol Burnett. And I'm imagining Bob Hope stopping by for a minute.
Oh God, I'd love
Andrews
that.
And you have a pretty formidable guest lineup also.
Yeah. And it was important to me to not just have, you know, uber ridiculously famous people for the sake of it. So there were plenty of people that were kind of put my way. And I just said, look, they're fabulous. Don't get me wrong. But I didn't want it to be that thing of, also for the British public watching it, I didn't want it to be like, oh, she's changed. She's suddenly, with all these faces, as I call them, I wanted it to be people that I felt a connection with, that I already had a connection with. People like, for example, Luke Evans. People wouldn't know that he and I have known each other since we were like 20 years old in theatre.
Oh,
and yeah. Leslie Odom Jr., my daughter, I said to my then 8-year-old daughter, who do you think mommy should sing with? And I hadn't even finished my sentence. Leslie Odom Jr., mummy, please, because
wow.
of Hamilton.
Wow.
And then
yeah.
Sam Ryder, I am a massive fan of his. I think he's the closest thing that we have to Freddie Mercury. He is sunshine in a bottle. And I knew that at a point I needed to have something that would lift the audience once I had done the centerpiece, the heart of the show, which is the fact that this little girl was there from 8 years old and for 30 years watching the English National Opera Chorus and my mama sitting at the back of that theatre. And so I wanted to have an ebb and flow emotionally, just as much as I have that, and I'm known for that in Ted Lasso. I wanted to have that through a theatre piece that would show people where I had come from.
Yeah, that's I can't wait for everybody to see it. I just have to ask you one Ted Lasso question. I mean, I don't even know if you know the answer to this, if we're going to see any more. And how life-changing was this for you?
Well, working backwards, it has been totally life-changing in so many ways. Firstly, because it's finally given me a platform that I had longed for to show what I can do. And secondly, that show has not only brought me, you know, professional acclaim, it has brought me the most beautiful group of people. And we will 100% on a very low key level be in each other's lives forever. And I'm truly blessed in that way.
Will you be in our lives anymore?
Well,
with more Ted Lasso?
I've no idea. I've literally no idea, which is probably just as well because I'm not very good at keeping things to myself like that. I'd be too excited.